The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. For the most comprehensive industry news and information, visit our website at irei.com and sign up for our free daily news alerts.
Welcome to the program. This is Mike Consul. Our guest is Scott Robinson, a professor of capital markets at New York University, where, among other things, he runs a student-managed REIT investment fund. We're going to learn all about this fund, how long it's been operating, what the objectives of the program are. Those are all important returns. At least we hope the students are getting some returns on this. So we'll investigate all of that. Professor Robinson, welcome to the program.
Mike, it's great to meet you. I appreciate you making time for me today.
Absolutely. And you're from California. I'm from upstate New York. We've switched places. Now I'm in California. You're in New York City. So it's a rough life there in New York, huh? I mean, just California attitudes and New York attitudes are very different things. But it's a hard driving environment. You've obviously found it you're liking. You've been there for how long now?
Gosh, it's been 26 years. I moved to New York in winter of 97 to go to grad school at NYU in this particular real estate program. The original intent was to move back to LA after graduation, but I very quickly fell in love with the city and decided I want to put down roots and build my career here.
Well, and your career has been in real estate. I mean, in New York City is real estate central there. Always going through a lot of permutations, especially with office right now. But let's talk about this program. So the program has been in operation for how long?
Yeah, so NYU Shack Institute of Real Estate was founded back in 1967 by Larry Silverstein. His original intention was to create really kind of ongoing, we'll call it executive education. And then I don't know what year ultimately we started the master's program, but I think our first cohort was probably 1990. And we currently have roughly 600 plus matriculated students across multiple graduate and undergraduate programs today. So we've grown tremendously over the past, whatever it's been, 56 years.
Well, the student managed REIT investment fund has been operating how long since?
This is only our second semester.
Okay, so it's new.
It's new.
So yeah. Talk about the, and who is involved? Are they graduate students? Are they undergrads and graduate students?
Yeah, great question. We opened it up to both grad and undergrad. We wanted to be as inclusive as possible. And, you know, funny background here, every year, clinical faculty at NYU-SPS kind of put in their annual reviews and included in that as kind of your wish list of things you'd like to work on over the next year. I never thought anybody ever read those, but our new SPS dean, when she joined Dean Kamath, she actually went through and read those looking for new initiatives to launch. She came across mine, reached out to me a few years ago and said, hey, this is a great idea. Let's try to bring this to market. So I guess that's a great example of, putting down what you really want to do in those reviews because people read them.
So the objective of the program is how would you describe what the objective is?
I would say at the end of the day, it's to provide another vector of learning experience for our students. Like, I think we all realize that real estate is much more of a kind of a fact-based, hands-on industry rather than more of a theoretical industry. And so the education system around that really needs to be applied in nature, which we are at Shack. And so this fund is really just kind of an outcropping of that.
So the student, you oversee the program, is my understanding. So you're counseling the students on the various considerations they have to take into account. What do you tell the students when you're just getting started with them? What kind of information do you provide to them, or what kind of guidance do you provide as a starting point for them to really launch into this project?
Yeah. So yes, I am faculty advisor, and this is kind of done through the REIT Center at NYU Shack. And look, we got approval to do this probably about a year ago now, and it took us a few semesters to get it up and running and kind of set up behind the scenes. And so we officially launched last fall of 23. I went out to our student body, I think in late spring of 23, looking for applicants for the first cohort. I was surprised at how many we got. I got probably three times more than I anticipated. And what I didn't do when I kind of initially set this up was I didn't create a lot of roles. I didn't create a lot of analytical infrastructure. I didn't create a hard line set of investment committee processes. I wanted to do that with the first cohort. I wanted them to kind of find their footing rather than me telling them what to do. And again, that was kind of part of my plan of making this more of a hands-on experience rather than a classroom experience. And so that summer, we got our first cohort up and running. And most of last fall was spent, honestly, building out the analytical infrastructure. I think my students really start with a baseline NAV analysis of the sector and kind of make some bottom-up and top-down decisions from there. But it took us about most of the last semester to kind of get that up and running. They started deploying some capital late in the semester. And this semester, we've got our second cohort. Pretty significant part of that is kind of rollover from the first semester. So a lot of them have their sea legs, so to speak. And we're kind of feeling out how to evolve the portfolio management and investment tracking process this semester. Going forward, I think we'll probably have a lot more structure and kind of processes. But these first few semesters have been fun to kind of get everybody up to speed.
And these are real dollars you're using. Is that right? Is 10,000, is it $10,000 that was raised for them to actually invest?
It is real dollars. Yeah, we've actually collected the money through our generous sponsorships from the REIT symposiums that we have every spring. We took a few years of those sponsorships and rolled those into this fund. We haven't disclosed what that AUM is. It's not life changing, but it is material from just a capital allocation point of view. Just putting some actual dollars to work. It doesn't matter how many zeros are behind it. It's still an actual process that there's real money behind, and it kind of changes the dynamic.
So $10,000 go in, they manage it. Let's say it grows to 15 or 17 grand. That money just stays in the fund for the next semester, the next slate of students.
It does. Yeah, nobody gets paid anything. There's no expense reimbursement coming out of the fund. And frankly, what I would like to do is launch, we'll call it a development or a capital raise process to kind of grow that AUM from sponsorship. And I would like to do that to a point where we can take some of the dividends that come out of it and create a scholarship program for students who want to, learn more in the finance industry. We're not quite there yet, but that's one of the next steps I have written out for us.
Interesting. Now you mentioned analytical infrastructure. What does that consist of? Can you give us some of the components?
Yeah, it's funny. You ask most students if they've traded stocks, and I would say 2/3 generally say yes. You ask those who've said yes if they've done any what type of analytical work they did, valuation work they did to come up with what they thought whatever stock they invested in, if what it was worth, and all the hands go down. Nobody's ever really done that work. So what we did was create basically a collection of spreadsheets that takes all the financial reporting information from these publicly traded REITs, dumps it into a bit of a database, and they run NAV valuation models, which aren't incredibly complex. They're really back of the envelope, but it's a good first cut on making a decision on which companies to do more analytical work on. So it's really primarily an NAV infrastructure.
Now, does an incoming slate of students who are going to run the fund, they inherit an existing portfolio and then you tell them this is what the last group had or created. Now, what about, updating or rebalancing that? I don't know if you talk about rebalancing in terms of a REIT portfolio, but there's different property types, so I'm sure that's part of the input you give that, you don't want to be overweighted in housing or certainly not office these days. Is that kind of a first step for, do they inherit the portfolio entirely and then they just go ahead and reformulate it?
Yeah, I'll use kind of a word that maybe may not make sense in an academic setting, but this is really kind of a business that continues to roll forward every semester. So, this semester, my second cohort, I have, I think, 32 students I've got about seven, we'll call it managers, managerial roles, and then the rest are spread around sector analyst roles. And I also have some econ analysts as well. And so collectively, what each cohort is doing on a real-time kind of ongoing basis is monitoring the macro situation to kind of come up with some top-down views. And all the sector analysts are looking at companies and thinking about fundamentals in their individual sectors to come up with some bottoms-up views of the sector. And collectively, that just comes together, and students decide they want to buy something or sell something. And we really kind of do that for the most part on a rolling basis. The group meets every week, Friday mornings. I'm surprised they've all shown up every week. They're a dedicated bunch. But they have the ability, literally at any time during the week, to make buy or sell recommendations. We have them prepare pretty detailed investment committee memos. Every analyst is given a set amount of time to read that material. Every analyst has to vote on taking that trading action, whether it's a buy or sell. And there's usually some timelines and some strategy around that position, vis-a-vis, we would like to look for an exit at, once this hits a valuation of X, or at least revisit the position when it hits that valuation of X.
What?
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to ask, what's the most common mistakes that you see, or I don't know if you would even call them mistakes, but maybe lapses in analysis. Is there something that's common that you see that you instruct students on or point out to them and say, this is probably worthy of reconsideration?
So far, not so much on the analytical front, but I think what they're really learning is the difficulty of being an investor. It's different than being a student or an academic. And what I mean by that is, they have taken their time to deploy capital, which I applaud them for. I probably may have been a little bit more adventuresome when I was their age, but they're taking a very conservative approach here, which is great. But it's easy to second guess yourself in retrospect. Oh gosh, we should have taken a position in X. We were maybe too conservative, or oh man, maybe we shouldn't have taken this position. And so I think having that ability to think over a different timeline is definitely a skill. And it's difficult for investors to acquire that skill. And I think that's one of the learning challenges that they're going through right now.
So, as currently constituted, the portfolio, I don't know if you have this information right at hand, Professor, but can you say it's 25% housing? Can you name the major property types and their denominations, and maybe also point to some niche property categories that they've gone for?
Yeah, so the fund is we're limited on what we can do. So we can only invest in listed securities, US-based companies. So we can do home builders, we can do REITs, REOCs, we can do common equity, we can do preferred, and we can do unsecured, senior unsecured. We can go long only. My students cannot short, and we also can't take on leverage of any sort. No margin debt. And also no hedging or exotic instruments. So keeping it pretty straightforward and vanilla. They have, as I said, been a little bit conservative on their deployment. So we've got a decent cash cushion to deploy opportunistically. But they're currently exposed to multifamily. We've got a telecommunications exposure with one of the tower REITs. They have some retail positions. I think they're in an industrial REIT or two. They're in a couple healthcare holdings. They have a gaming holding, and believe it or not, they do have an office position.
They do, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and there's still people who believe in office, no question about that. It sounds to me like the nature may change, of course. I mean, what worked in the past might not work in the future, but okay, so they have an office position. Are there any niche categories? I mean, you mentioned telecommunications. I'm wondering if they're in self-storage, data centers, anything of that sort.
Not yet, but they are looking at the space. Data and we'll call it digital infrastructure, including the tower companies, is something they've been paying a lot of attention to. The younglings are smarter than me on the digital front, so they are definitely appreciative of the growth prospects that stem from AI and everything. But I think they've been trying to get their head around where current valuations are in that digital infrastructure space relative to where fundamentals may drive those values in the future. So they're, like I said, have the one tower position and continue to look at other opportunities as well.
So I can imagine somebody saying, "Well, what about non-traded REITs? You don't have a timeline that's, I mean, that's not practical with a group of students in a semester to actually do non-traded REITs, correct? Because those only change. Wait, what would you have to do? You'd either have to have a an open window there, an interval fund type situation, or a secondaries market situation. Is that right? Is
And one of the fund's mandates is to be in liquid instruments, and so non-traded stuff doesn't work for us. But having said that, there's a lot for us to learn from that space, and we've had a couple conversations with some non-traded REITs about both their investment strategy as well as their capital markets strategies. And I think having that engagement, even if they can't invest in them, has given them a better understanding of the listed REIT landscape as well.
So you teach them about the value of illiquidity, and stabilizing a portfolio by having some non-illiquid stuff that doesn't gyrate at the drop of a hat. Correct. I mean, because more and more people talk in terms of portfolios moving from 60-40 to maybe 50-25-25 or something along those lines. Different types of configurations with more alternatives. Well, real estate's an alternative. Although one of the big questions about REITs, publicly traded REITs, is do they actually act as real estate investments or as general securities, and they rise and fall with the market? That's been one of the criticisms of publicly traded REITs. I don't know if you have a perspective on that, Professor.
Look, I think, at the end of the day, yes, REITs are really a proxy for the private real estate markets. But you also have the liquidity aspect and the transparency aspect, which are both really important. And it takes a little bit wa longer to kind of appreciate this. My students are slowly getting there. Management teams do matter. And so, a good management team can outperform their private market sector, if you will. Simply because they're better at what they're doing. They've got an operating infrastructure that others may not have. And having evergreen capital, I think, is important too. So I've been trying to get my students in front of management teams and trying to get them to think beyond just property fundamentals and how property fundamentals are trending, and to think more about how management teams are running their businesses around those fundamentals.
Now, these students then are future real estate executives and maybe even real estate moguls. Is that right?
That is right. I think most of them want to be moguls, and yeah, some of them probably will be.
What do most of them want in terms of their role in the industry? Do they say, "I want to be a real estate investor or a developer or a fund manager"? Is there any standout? It used to be, for instance, finance. Everybody wanted to be an investment banker because they made so much money. They built the, masters of the universe and so on. What do kids strive for today?
I think our typical student is really kind of unchanged, if you will, over the past couple decades. They're very motivated, they're very entrepreneurial, and ultimately they want to have a lot more influence on the property sector. So a lot of them want to, possibly run their own business, but if not, then definitely be more executive level, if you will, at smaller and medium-sized real estate firms. So very energetic and very entrepreneurial.
Do any of them talk about, I mean, are they focused on this whole idea of this housing crisis, looking for solutions to the housing crisis? Do you hear any conversation? Do you lead any discussions about that, Professor?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We get into topics of, all the different verticals of ESG and how they may be more or less relevant to each property sector. We think about some of the social issues that the real estate sector is grappling with, and how they may or may not come into play within the REIT space, and which sectors and which geographies. So it really is, we'll call it a kind of a multidimensional discussion.
Just in terms of the fund itself, it now, you started off with 10,000. Is it, I don't know if you want to talk about the fund's performance. I won't get into specifics, but I'm just curious, is it above or below the 10,000 mark at this point?
Well, yeah. So first off, for clarity, we are our initial AUM is significantly higher than that, but we are benchmarked off the Nareit All Equity Index. I initially grappled with should we make this a total return strategy or benchmark, and on the one hand, I wanted to give my entrepreneurially minded students the real carrot of an absolute return target. But I thought there'd be a better learning experience if they were benchmarked. And so we chose Nareit because they've been a great partner with NYU Shack, but also they have the indices and they cover the bulk of the sector. So it was natural for us to benchmark off the Nareit All Equity Index.
So you do work with Nareit. I was going to ask you earlier about that. Okay, so it makes perfect sense that you would be have some kind of collaboration with them. So the fund is, did you say it's significantly above the 10,000 mark or?
Yeah, we started with more than 10,000.
Oh, you did. Okay,
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
it's up over the course of history or is it a little below?
No, we've actually we have performed up, and I think we are roughly in line with the benchmark.
Okay,
So
terrific.
yes, they have grown their AUM.
What else about the program would you highlight?
Yeah, look, it's a great learning experience for the students, but I don't want that experience to be in a box. I don't want it to be limited to just the students who have the opportunity to participate this every semester. I've also wanted to challenge my fund students to be leaders rather than just doers. And so what all of that means is I am, now that we've kind of got our infrastructure in place, challenging them to engage more with the outside world. And so they're going to be leading some educational discussions for the NYU Shack students. We're putting together kind of a learning module so they can teach students about REIT valuations. I'm also putting together some webinars for them to engage with the industry in advance of the REIT symposium this April, for them to kind of share their views and pose questions and engage industry leaders. So I don't want their experience to be limited to just what we do, on Friday mornings. I want them to share that and engage with the broader community.
Fantastic. Interesting program. Our guest has been Scott Robinson. He is professor of capital markets at NYU. And as you hear, they've got a student managed REIT investment fund at the school to help season their students and bring them to full fruition. Those are future leaders of the real estate industry, NYU and other schools developing them right now. Professor, thank you for your time and the explanation of the program.
Mike, I appreciate it. It's a humbling experience for me, and it's a phenomenal opportunity for our students. So I appreciate the time to talk about it.